Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Archer Daniels Midland Company is close to acquiring Australia's third biggest food deal after the Board of Local Grain Exporters for GrainCorp Limited accepted an improved offer from the U.S. agriculture giant. ADM agreed to pay $2.60 per cash share for GrainCorp. ADM's purchase would leave almost all of the grain handling infrastructure in Australia, one of the world's largest wheat exporters, and the beachhead to Asia's booming food markets in the hands of foreign companies. GrainCorp is the last of Australia's large agriculture businesses still listed on the stock exchange. It has a network of 280 storage facilities and owns 7 of the 8 ports that ship around 90% of the grain from Australia's east coast. ADM was twice rejected in its efforts to buy GrainCorp last year. The Illinois-based company already owns a 19.8% stake in GrainCorp. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says that the U.S. Senate needs to get moving on the Farm Bill and Water Resources Development Act next month. Those comments should kick the Senate Agriculture Committee into action to hold a markup on the Farm Bill in the first part of May. The committee has not set a date yet to mark the bill. The House Agriculture Committee, though, has. It's going to mark up its version of the Farm Bill on May 15th. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow is still seeking to cut growth in spending on the legislation by $23 billion over 10 years. Japan's consumer price index fell 0.9% in March from a year earlier. Japan Today says that core consumer prices, excluding food, fell 0.5% year on year. The London-based International Grains Council today lowered its forecast for China's soybean imports in the current marketing year due to the outbreak of bird flu. Imports in the year ending September 30th were reduced by 2 million metric tons to 59 million tons. IGC says growth in China's soybean imports, which averaged 16% in the last 5 years, will slow to 3.3% in 2012-13. The bird flu outbreak in China has led to the culling of thousands of poultry and raised prospects for reduced demand. China's soybean imports fell 9% in the 6 months through March, that according to China government estimates. Meanwhile, the IGC forecasts that global corn output will increase by 10% in 2013-14 to 939 million tons, with harvested area and average yields both projected to be higher. Statistics New Zealand today shows that in figures it released, that in the first quarter of 2013, milk exports to China were up 32% from a year earlier. Meanwhile, exports to Australia were down 7%. By the way, the U.S. remained New Zealand's third largest market. In the quarter, sales to the U.S. increased by 10%. And Burger King Worldwide Incorporated's first quarter earnings surged as the fast food chain continued to cut expenses. Burger King reported a profit of $35.8 million or 10 cents a share versus $14.3 million or 4 cents a share a year earlier. Total operating costs and expenses fell 54%.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, it is Last Chance Texaco Friday for the pledging in support of agricultural programming for the opening market report. Thus far, we've heard from 103 people in support of agricultural programming during this week-long pledge period, and that is terrific. My heartfelt thanks to each and every one of you who have already contributed this week. 47, though, is the number that we need to hear from today, hopefully, in order to meet a significant challenge of put forth by our business partners. Les Schulte, those are some significant numbers that we're talking about.
They are. They're $4,700. That's I believe that's like $4,700.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and it pays for a lot of services that we can bring to you in the coming year. And that's why we're doing this. That's why the next 47 pledges are so important. If you use WILL, if you use our agricultural services, mention that when you make that call, because then we'll kind of, you know, mark you on that tally, and every call makes a difference. The next 10 calls are going to get us down to
37.
And then that's how it goes. So your pledge right now at any level, $50, $100, $250, whatever fits into your budget, whatever value you put on these agricultural services, these reports, these 21 market analysts we bring you every week, these podcast services that are available online, however you use these services, support these services with your pledge right now. 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. The next 47 pledges are very important because you're going to get us to completing this challenge. We can add that $4,700 to our pledge total. We want to thank Stuart Peterson, the branch office in Champaign, for being a part of the business partners who have put this $4,700 pool of money together.
Maybe you're someone who has been considering to give a gift in support of agricultural programming. You've never done that before, or maybe you're one of our people that have done it in the past, and you're kind of lying in the weeds because it is Friday and you're seeing how things go. Well, let me just tell you something. Right now, if you were to contribute a $50 gift of support of agricultural programming, your gift would be worth $150. And that is because of the leveraging that your gift would do toward the greater total of $4,700 that we would receive when we reach the 150 benchmark for number of people who say they do indeed benefit from agricultural programming on this radio station or on the podcasts or in a night evening meeting or the Ag e-newsletter or the phone service or in any of the many other ways that we provide information to you each and every day of the week. You decide what's important in terms of the amount. But what is extremely important is that you go to your phone now to call 217-244-9455. Joining us now to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike. Hello, Mike. Well, it seems like we might have lost Mike on the line, or, well, yes, I see a phone call being made in there, Les.
I thought Mike was a little silent this morning.
You know, maybe
he usually
a little
more
verbose
than that.
He usually
has a lot
more to say than that. So while we're waiting for Mike to get online, and he should be here in just a moment, why don't we go ahead and talk a little bit more about why it is that this service is so important.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of services anymore. When I was first getting into broadcasting, it seemed like every radio station had agricultural services, you know, especially if you were a community-oriented station.
Mm-hmm.
But those tended to drop by the wayside as people figured, well, maybe they're not as financially viable as some other things we could be doing. But we have made a commitment to agricultural services. We're a public radio station, and we think to serve the public and to serve the people who are involved in the agricultural industry in our communities, and we extend quite far out. We have made a significant investment of dollars in supporting agricultural services, and we do that because individuals tell us they appreciate it and they will support the station by calling 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org.
Mike Zuzulo should be on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. I hope those phones are ringing off the hook.
Well, that's what we hope, too, and we will continue to monitor that as the day goes by. It's been an interesting day in that we got some news that seemed to stop the market in some way. I mean, the market has chopped around all week. But when we got the GDP news, it just seemed to put the brakes on everything.
Yeah, and this is the continuation of what we found last week with China's GDP figures. And I think that it resumed and continued as far as a negative overall commodity sentiment, excluding yesterday's trade. I think it continued with the PMI numbers coming out of China and some of the other purchasing manager numbers coming out of some other countries. Is this negative commodity demand going forward bias continues to get priced into commodities. And so when you look at December corn and you see that it's down about 25 cents for the week on no planting progress whatsoever and on China coming in and buying 540,000 tons of U.S. corn for new crop after very good weekly export sales, you have to ask yourself what's going on here and why is the market going down, and I think this is why it is. And when you got the GDP figures, I think it solidified what China's Politburo and what their main standing committee made a press release in the overnight markets about concerns about another financial problem in the world markets, not financial crisis, but financial problems and risks to the downside in the financial markets. And so I think you've got this pall over the commodities, and it's bled into the grains. And I think that theory was tested yesterday, Dave, when he had such a strong move up in the grains on what overall, other than the corn exports, was the lowest total inspections in 4 years based upon one report. So that's where I think we sit as we plant nothing and we see markets go down.
I think, though, that the trade will come back on Sunday afternoon, and if the weather seems to be open, and we're rolling in the fields pretty strong next week, that you could see some continued deterioration in these markets.
I don't have a problem with that theory whatsoever, especially if we lose some of the key technical support levels and the basis and the spreads start to work against us. The old crop, new crop spreads are still suggesting a buy. The some of the commodity index grain sub-indexes I track are still suggesting a buy and holding support. We have lost some 200-week moving averages on new crop corn and new crop beans, and that's concerning. But I think that's exactly right, because what we do last year, it feels a lot like last year to me. It probably does to you and the listener, that here we were 56% planted in Illinois a year ago and 43% planted a year ago in Indiana. And the market was talking about how great the crop was going to be, how big the crop was going to be, and the outside markets were negative and we were going down. Now all of a sudden the trade has turned that around and said the outside markets are negative. We haven't planted more than 1% this week, but we're still going down. And so if you use last year as a barometer, it's pretty simple math that they went down to about 499 going into the May report. That could be a target for December corn going into the May report. But I think ahead of that, Dave, you have the crop tour next week for hard red wheat. You've got May delivery. And you've also got a weather model that's jumping all over the place as far as rain, no rain. So if you're a bear, and I said this last week, and we're down 25 cents in December corn since I said this, but if you're a bear and you're short at 580 December corn, I don't think you're feeling too good about your position as you get into next week's trade if these other three things that I just mentioned become an issue.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Good luck.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. Les, we're counting it down. 47 calls to go for $4,700.
Let's get 10 pledges in right now. Right now. 10 pledges at 244-9455, willpledge.org. Help us meet this $4,700 challenge.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.